Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Everyone knows who you are.
Hi, I'm Gina Serrato, and I have an 8-year-old daughter with cystic fibrosis. I found out about my daughter's condition when I was pregnant. The first hospitalization is probably the worst. You don't know what to expect. There is a lot of uncertainty. She was this tiny baby, and I didn't have the hospital vocabulary in my world. I didn't know what a PICC line was, what type of treatments you do to this little baby, how the hospital process was. I didn't know anything. So that was very, very traumatic. Not only because you have a teeny baby in the hospital and it's your kid and you don't want your kid to be there, but because you are not familiar with anything and none of the process. What really helped me during this hospitalization was to grow my knowledge about CF. I went into reading plenty at night. Those sleepless nights are very good for reading. So I was educating myself about the process, learning each of the things that she was going through, and learning ways of how to help her. I became acquainted with the process, the procedures, the doctors, and the entire team, and how things will work out so I could utilize those resources to our advantage. I also have the support of my family, and family has always been the greatest support for me. So having them coming to the hospital and just being there with you makes a big, big difference. Gianna was 4 months old when she was first hospitalized. We came to the hospital because her right lung had collapsed. Somehow she had contracted a bacteria which caused a pneumonia. When we came to the hospital, I was totally in despair. I didn't know what to expect. I have no hospital acquaintances. I had never been in the hospital before, and I didn't know how the process was going to be. So, and I was very, very afraid for my daughter's life. Luckily, little by little, I learned how the process worked. I learned to work with the nurses, the doctors, and kind of have the whole team to give us counsel and learning about the situation to help us understand what was going to happen and what to expect. Luckily, she recovered quite fast, and although we have come thinking that we were going to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, we ended up only being there for like 3 or 4 days. So she recovered quite fast, and we were able to go home and be okay. Advocating for your kid at the hospital is not a mathematical formula. It's more like an art. We all need to understand what our kids are about and what is important for them, what is that they need emotionally, and kind of handle the situation according to their personality. It's very individual. You also need to learn to get to know all the doctors and their style so you can work with them better. Understand the nurses, where do you find answers. Create a chart that you keep with you in the room where you know when the treatments are taking place, and that way you kind of create a structure in the while you are in the hospital. You also need to ask all the workers, and in our case, because there is a lot of respiratory therapies that need to take place, a lot of times it's 4 times a day. So I try to schedule those within the hours of the day, so I know my daughter could have a very a good night's sleep. So when you are in the hospital, your kid will have a lot of blood draws. And sometimes in my experience was that sometimes they will remember about something that they needed to test, and a blood draw was at 7 in the morning and then the other one at 9 in the morning. And my daughter is terrified of needles. So I decided to go ahead and ask the team to please try to bundle those blood draws into one a day if possible, because we want to spare our kids from the trauma and the difficulty of the of having blood draws constantly. The second time we went into the hospital, she was almost 3 years old. So I came with a different perspective. I realized by then that I could talk to the team and we could all put a plan together. And that was very important when I got into the hospital, understanding how the plan was going to be, so we could be in the same pace or all working towards the solution of the situation. And one of the things that really help is, like, for example, the first thing that they do when you get into the hospital is text your kid for everything to make sure that they haven't missed anything. And so you need to figure it out, what is the best timing for that. And also they, in our case, Deanna, they put a PICC line on my daughter. So we will need to go, because she's little, she needs a surgery. She needs to be put under anesthesia and needs a surgery. So she needs to be without eating. And the first times that we went in, not knowing that, we had a very difficult time because the surgeries were scheduled late in the afternoon. And having a kid without eating so long, and especially one with CF, it is very, very difficult. One of the PICC lines was surgeries was scheduled like for 3 p.m. So that meant that she wasn't eating for almost a day and a half. And it wasn't a good experience for her. So the next time I went in, I was making sure that it will be scheduled really early in the morning and that she will be okay. So definitely work those times with your team. Another thing is figure it out what works for your kid. Whenever my daughter is terrified of needles, so we need to figure it out what is helpful for her to help her calm down when she needs to do blood draws or deal with needles in the hospital, which is pretty much constantly. At one time we tried some medicines that will sedate her, but she reacted adversely to them. So it may work for your kid, but it didn't work for us. So we needed to do it cold blood. Is it cold? I don't know what the term is, but we couldn't have any of that. So we ended up having the child life specialist coming and playing with her. And we figured it out that my daughter works really well with when we kind of entice her that if she does something, she's going to have a playful time with this person. And that really motivates her, and she allows the testing to take place so she can move on and play for a little bit. So you need to figure it out, the personality of your kid, what is that is going to work for them, and design a plan that is okay for them. Also, when you are going to bring a kid to the hospital, make sure that you try to recreate their home environment at the hospital. In my case, my daughter is super attached to two little toys and a little blankie, so I make sure that she's holding that all the time, and that's her comfort zone. Luckily, I am able to stay with her most of the times. I know it's kind of a luxury because there is many parents that can be there with their kids at all times. But since I am able to be there, I am basically trying to distract her. We find out games and read fun things and try to bring joy to those moments. Because there is so many things to be scared and afraid that distraction is actually a really good tool to have there. So we get books where she gets to draw stories, paint, whatever is helpful for your kid. So make sure that you bring that into their environment. Another thing that she loves is gifts. So that's a good thing that you have family visiting and bringing her new things. So at times she was like, oh, I'm going to the hospital. I know this is horrible, but they're going to bring me gifts. So there's something for them to look forward. And try to make friends and trying to find people that they feel comfortable. Gianna has a nurse that she adores when she is there. So whenever she is there, she is looking forward to meeting her and spending time with her because she is very playful for her, with her. So she learned to create that connection and that gives her comfort. I'd like to share with you that my daughter, when she was barely 3 years old, thought that the hospital was a hotel. And at that time when we were leaving, she was telling me, Mommy, Mommy, please promise me that you will never bring me back to this horrible hotel. They don't let me get out of my room. They don't let me go to the pool. And on top of that, they don't let me sleep and come and hurt me constantly. That was so sweet. She thought that whenever we packed our luggage and went to sleep somewhere else was a hotel, and this was the worst hotel for her. So as I laugh now, it was very difficult for me because I was asked to promise her not to bring her there. And I wanted to make that promise so badly, but I knew I couldn't keep it. And it was devastating as I listened to this with a good sense of humor. It was also a very touching moment. But as she reflected on the experience of not being able to go anywhere and not able to visit the pool, we need to realize that isolation is a big part of being in the hospital. When kids with CF are in the hospital, they are not allowed to go and wander around and do other activities. They are not allowed to leave the room. And it becomes very challenging. And it depends on the kid's personality, if they like to be kind of enclosed and very personal. My daughter is a social bubble. She wants to be out running around. So being in cave in a room is not an easy task. Sometimes it is very painful. I remember once she was kind of in her little tippy toes through the window looking outside and asking me, Mommy, can you take me out there? I want to be out there so badly. So that was a very difficult time. Also, when I went for my walks around the floor when she was hospitalized, and I will see other kids playing and doing different activities, I was sad. I was sad that I couldn't have my daughter there. So those are things that we have to face when we are in the hospital, and they're not easy. Yeah. And since isolation is very difficult, we have found ways to work around that. Now that my daughter is older and she has friends from the school, I kind of try to ask them to come in different schedules so they come and keep her company, and we play games, and they are their cheerleaders. And we have such a great support to try to bring the world to her. That way is manageable, and our family is always there, and they come and read the stories. After a while, since I am there with my daughter all the time, she gets bored of seeing Mommy. She wants to see new faces and new people that are much more attractive to her. So having that variety of visitors is very important. Last hospitalization, we'd have this experience where she was going to do a lung function test, and one of her little friends that is a great dancer, she said she was going to be her cheerleader, and she actually was playing the cheerleading song and singing next to her, and that really brightened Gianna's day. She was smiling all day long about that. So you need to figure it out, creative ways to bring them happiness. Since everybody handles situations differently, some people prefer to be very private about CF, and some people are very open about it. In our case, we have been totally open about, and that had brought a lot of benefits because we could reach out to friends whenever something was happening, and they understood and tried to bring us support. And as I think it's very individual, and we need to respect how every person wants to handle a situation. But CF is isolating enough, and I feel like for us it is important to be to having this big support of family and friends, and for them to know what it takes to have CF, and I think they by that openness, and it's very authentic to them, so they are open about other areas of their lives too. So I feel like in a way we are able to create relationships that are very nurturing and very authentic. So we have had so many hospitalizations, and I don't wish this upon anybody. But to use it to our advantage, we have learned through the process. And I have learned to be a better advocate for my daughter, to navigate the system in a better way. And with that, Gianna is learning to advocate for herself. There is times when she tells the nurses, no, don't do that until my mom is here. Whenever I have a step out of the room, or she say, I don't like that at that moment, can we do it later? So she's able to speak out her and express her needs, and to also put limits. Because kids with CF, they feel violated constantly. They come and things are done to them, and it feels like they have no control. But I have taught Gianna that whenever she feels that it's necessary to stop, to let us know, to speak her her through and her emotions, and to be able to communicate. Because all she used to do was just cry and then tell me, oh, I'm crying because they did this and I didn't want it. So I have told her, you know what, we are going to stop that, and you are going to communicate your emotions so people know what limits they need to respect. So I think through the whole process, she's becoming better at advocating for herself, and I am learning how to advocate for her too. The first times I was very, I wouldn't say I'm shy in the hospital, but I was not knowing what to do, and also thinking that maybe it was better not to say something. Now I realize that I'll just speak whatever I am thinking and feeling, and expressing that what our needs are. So I became very open about this process, and I expect the same from everybody in the team. And whenever something goes in a direction that we think is not going, we just stop it and say, hey, we need to evaluate this, or you need to explain why is this going in this direction and how does it need to be done. And we need to understand that when something is suggested to us, it's not like we have to do that. We can sit down, rethink, evaluate, and decide as a team. Actually, there was one experience in the hospital. My daughter is allergic to several things. And there was one moment that it was suggested that we did, I forgot specifically what the term was, but it was something that we're going to apply the medication to my daughter little by little until she became acclimated to it. And I kind of, and they wanted to do it that day. And I say, it doesn't feel right. I want to have to speak with the entire allergy team and figure it out. And through that process, we learned that that wasn't going to be right for my daughter because her allergy reaction was delayed always, and that will work for people who reacted right away. So sometimes when we have those feelings that we feel like something is not going in the right direction, we need to learn to express that and to be okay with that. We may be wrong, and that's okay, but sometimes we may be right. There is one case also, because my daughter is terrified with needles, that I was searching for some help on how to help her calm down about this experience. And a desensitization process was suggested. And I just didn't feel the process was right for her. And as much as it could be right for some other people, I decided not to do that. Because what I wanted for her was something more organic. I wanted her to feel more braver about the process, and for her to transform within, not external experience. And I definitely listened to that, and we learned a different process, and she was able to process that and to evolve in that experience without having the process that was suggested. Not that I am saying to always go against what is suggested, because I am totally grateful for the knowledge of the doctors, nurses, and the entire team, but sometimes they handle tons of people while we only handle our kids, and we know them best. So that is my experience with the process of advocacy, and I hope that is helpful for people out there. Oh, and one more thing before I forget, that was really helpful for us is Gianna likes to know what to expect when something is going to be done in the hospital. And I remember one day they were going to do a CT scan on her, and she didn't know what it was, and she was terrified. And actually, it doesn't hurt. They're just going to lay there, and this process is going to happen. But because they don't know, it creates a lot of anguish and fear. So I actually found a little YouTube video of a little kid, a little girl that was going to do one, and her father filmed and explained everything in the process. And I was able to play that for her, and that put her totally at ease because she saw another little kid doing that, and she knew what to expect. Because I think a lot of times the fear is we don't know what to expect. They throw a terms at us that we don't know what it is. The first time that I hear PICC line, I had no clue what PICC line was, you know, and I was terrified. And whenever they say something that I don't know, I don't know what to expect. So in the same way that it worked for my daughter to educate herself and see what it was, it is good for us. I realize that for us to know what the process is and what entails, and it helps us, it put us at ease. We are able to feel more comfortable. And another experience that I could share with you is recently I had to make the decision between getting a PICC line or putting a port on my daughter because she may need a treatment for a long term. And I didn't know what a port was. I have heard of people having a port, and mainly for cancer treatments, I believe, or chemos. But I didn't know how a port was going to work for somebody with CF. I was thinking that it may interfere with her best treatments because it was going to be in the way, and how was she able to handle that. So there is a lot of things to evaluate. And when I collected all the information, at that moment, I actually decided to not to do a port, to just to go with a PICC line, and that worked for us. But understanding if it is okay for your kid and which route to take better, educating ourselves about the processes is very important, so we can make decisions that are based on those resources.